Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So this is kind of cute. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer, he said that the most recent ruling there in Texas upholding the abortion ban or law, I mean, they're calling it a law, it's really a ban. He said it's very, very, very wrong. He said, I'll add one more very. I'm going, oh, that's helpful. Very helpful. Just add another very. He said, I wrote a dissent and that's the way it works. Yeah, he seems to think that it's going to come back up, and he seems to think that there's going to be potentially a way to correct this. I don't share his optimism. I'm very not optimistic, but here to share some thoughts on maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm seeing this the wrong way. I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris to come talk with us. Sarah's a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, their website. Sarah, he's very, very, very concerned. It's wrong. He's going to add another very.
Well, bless his heart. If he's that concerned, maybe he should resign so that we can appoint somebody before he dies and before Republicans take over the damn Senate.
Stupid. Yeah. Breyer. That's not going to happen, though. Understand, these people, they don't think that way. They're going to live forever. It was one of my knocks against, as much as I liked RBG, she should have retired a year or two, a couple of years before that.
You know, I mean, the only satisfaction I have is that maybe, just maybe, she's haunting Brett Kavanaugh somewhere in that building. Maybe. I don't know, but that would be nice.
She's spitting in his beer. Is that what you're telling me?
Probably not. But it'd be nice if she'd stick her little ghost foot out every time you walk by.
So let's talk about this, because, you know, the sad reality is we're in this moment where right now, front and center, the reality is this is going to be the law in Texas. We're going to have, you know, people, bounty hunters seeking out women and, you know, going through trash looking for who knows what. I mean, this is crazy.
I mean, are they going to require us to send our, our feminine hygiene products, our used feminine hygiene products, for them to inspect to see if there are any embryos inside? Like, is that where we're going with this? Because if Greg Abbott wants me to send him my Diva cups, like, sure, why not? Why the hell not?
And maybe that's the future. Maybe just every woman in the country send it to him.
There have been some movements. There have actually been some movements in the past with women sending their stuff to lawmakers. Well, most women send the coat hanger. But, you know, I personally have an affinity for used feminine hygiene products to your local Republican. This is really disturbing, and it's infuriating on so many levels. It's infuriating because the law is wrong. It's unconstitutional. It's weird. It's lazy. You know, it's Republicans who couldn't come up with their own anti-Roe law by themselves that would pass muster. But the big part of it is the unbelievable number of men who don't understand how our bodies work. And we are more than half of the population here. Like, that's the thing, is there are more of us than there are of you penis people. And you would think that there would be some interest.
So why don't you rule the world? I mean, there are more of you. How come you can't all get on the same page?
Well, some of us are scrapbooking, you know? I made that joke for your wife.
Yeah, yeah. She's not hearing it.
I think, you know, a lot of women aren't running the world because they're too busy trying to save their own individual world. I mean, we got a lot of responsibilities. We basically run the house. We take care of everybody's kids. I mean, half of us take care of our neighborhood, our parents. And now you want us to fix the country too? It's just like, God, that's a lot of stuff. I don't even have time to dust, right? Like, it's a lot.
But you asked for it. I mean, this is one of those things. Women want it all. There you go. We've given it to you. You're now, here you go. It's all you. Because I'll be honest with you, I want women to run the country. I'm ready for that. I'm ready for women to run things and to show us the right way. I'm ready for
it. I think it would definitely be a heck of a lot better. My hope is that because this law is so messed up and Republicans have gone just so far off the reservation, they've gone around the bend, they've lost all the fries in the Happy Meal. My hope is that people are enraged enough in Texas that they are going to do something about it. Things are close in Texas. You know, there's a lot of movement that Democrats could have in that state. And you've got people who are freezing to death. Now you got people who are dying of COVID, and now they want to go after women. So, you know, clearly Republicans are not doing that great of a job in the great state of Texas.
But here's the weird thing. I would think that, you know, and this is where, you know, being an observer in this, that, you know, a lot of people I know, there's a lot of energy here, and I'm hoping that this is energizing the Democratic base to get out and vote, especially as we come into next week's California recall. Because even if you live in California, what's going on in Texas does affect you, because, well, the Supreme Court's going to make that the law of the land, and other states are going to do this as well. So it does. So I would think, and maybe I'm wrong here, but wouldn't this be the boost that Newsom needs to not get recalled?
I definitely think that's probably one of the things. The other piece of it, I think, is the Delta variant. So many Republicans were furious with him because of all of his mandates and all of his lockdowns. And so they were going to recall him, and how dare he, and all of this stuff. And now it turns out a whole bunch of them are dead. So, I think folks are actually starting to learn, oh, gee, maybe Gavin Newsom wasn't all that wrong about a lot of things.
Yeah.
He has some stuff that he needs to fix. But, I mean, a lot of this is not,
Larry Elder?
That dude is nuts. I mean, even Republicans think that dude is nuts. So, I mean, brandished a gun to his then fiance, and he's got serious issues. So I can't imagine. I mean, if you look at the polling, obviously things look a little bit against Elder.
Yeah.
But the thing that's so messed up in California is that you can have a majority of the population vote to recall Newsom, and then elect this Yahoo with like 20%. So you can have an overwhelming majority of the state who don't want Larry Elder and still get him as your governor. And I mean, that's kind of messed up. Like, California's really got to get some stuff fixed here. Y'all ended up with Arnold Schwarzenegger at one point. So you think that they would have fixed that the last time?
Yeah.
You gotta fix that stuff.
No, it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. But, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, I've had some Democratic strategist friends say, you know, this is the biggest mistake Republicans have made. It's going to galvanize the Democratic base. There's going to be all this mobilization. There's going to be all this stuff because there are marches coming up, and that's great. We need the women's marches. We need to get that out. We need to get that moving, especially into next year. But I've also got some friends going, yeah, you're going to wear yourself out now, and next year it's going to be forgotten, because the average person in this country's got the attention span of a gnat.
That is true. And see, I'm all about marches. Marches are great. I would much prefer, instead of a march, we all just sort of get together and hug it out. And instead of marching, I would prefer everybody run for office. All of these women all over the country who are marching, they need to run for school board. You need to run for city councils. You need to run for county assessor. You need to run for every single office up and down the ballot. And you need to fight for these offices. Republicans have been doing this for a long, long time, and this is how they get started. This is how really messed up laws get on the books at really low levels of government, from people who, you know, just basically take a document from some think tank and pass it as a law. So, I mean, I'm all for the marching, but if you want to do something that matters, that really will make a difference, you need to run for office.
No, we need more Katie Porters in the world, man. And
God,
I love what
she
did to Joe Manchin today.
Yes. And see, that is another thing that's really important. You know, we talk about stuff like, you know, these people who claim that they're pro-life all the time, but then when it comes down to it, they don't support paid family leave. They don't support childcare. There's a ridiculously high infant mortality rate. Nobody cares so much in Texas about vaccinations and wearing masks. So, you know, we have all of these things that could help make the country a better place. And Joe Manchin has decided that he's going to stand in the way of it. And Katie Porter's not having it. Like, she's ready to stand in the way of that and say, no, actually, here's what's, I'm going to get my whiteboard out and I'm going to outline why you're, you know, a jackass. And the thing with Manchin is he's now complaining, you know, oh, the debt is just so high. It's so much. And now Biden wants to take care of children and families. How dare he? And so this idea that somehow we're going to spend all this money and not get, you know, any kind of revenue coming in is what Katie Porter is saying. That's not the way it works. He's already agreed to a slight increase in the corporate tax rate. There are a heck of a lot of corporations who didn't even pay their taxes at all.
Right.
There's a whole group of people. I'm not even talking about raising taxes. I'm talking about people who won't even pay their taxes now.
Yeah.
There are so many companies, so many rich people, so many who just refuse to pay their taxes. And they have these lawyers who can instead fight off the government. And so the government won't even go after them because they don't have the power to. They don't have enough staff and the research. And so, I mean, if honest to God, if Joe Manchin cares about, you know, taking down the deficit, then he should be supporting the IRS going after some of these people because we could be paying off the deficit right now.
Absolutely. In fact, the Treasury Department just yesterday came out with a report that I'm sure you've seen. That said, you know, we've got our rich people, you know, our one percenters who are underpaying this tax gap. It's a nice way of saying tax cheats, but the tax gap, the gap between what we're expecting and what we're actually paid is about over $600 billion a year, or they've estimated somewhere in the neighborhood of $7 trillion in a decade. Well, gee, this infrastructure plan's half of that. So if we just went after half of that, it would pay for itself, don't you think?
Yeah, that's the thing with all of these crazy Republicans and people like Joe Manchin who complain so much about the deficit. But when it comes down to actually collecting taxes to pay it off, they don't want to do it. They want to do it on the backs of the poor, on the backs of, you know, children, childcare, seniors, all of those people who desperately need and deserve to have a country that works for them. And instead they're, you know, standing in the way of this. And I mean, Joe Manchin's state in particular, there's a really great website I tweeted out earlier. I actually pinned the tweet to my Twitter account. And I went through all of these things that West Virginia would benefit from on this budget. Like, we're talking about a ton of jobs in a state that where people are really struggling. You're talking about job training programs, improving their power grid, like so much of this stuff. And, you know, instead of taxing the people of West Virginia more, just take some of the federal money that we're offering you, you know, like just tell your senator, hey, we would like all of this free money that Joe Biden would like to give us. How is that not a completely easy decision to make?
It really is. But, you know, it's, somebody else might, those people might get something. And it's crazy. I've said from the beginning, Joe Manchin could be the most powerful person in the country. He could hold the country hostage and make West Virginia one of the top 10 states in the country just by give me everything I want or I'm going to hold you. And maybe he's doing that. Maybe we're all, you know, being duped by the mastery that is or the wizardry that is Joe Manchin. But I don't think so. This is one of those, you know, I would actually give him credit if this is what he was doing, but I'm not seeing it.
God, wouldn't it be awesome? Because of anybody, like West Virginia has really been royally screwed. The whole coal industry has completely destroyed the state, you know, taken so much of their natural resources, left people penniless. The opioid crisis has decimated towns and families all over the state. If anybody really deserves somebody stepping in and saying, here, have this free money, you know, go buy yourself a new microwave or a new fridge or a new car or something. It's West Virginia, and it would be so great if that's what he did. If he was just like, no, I want more for my people. Instead, you know, he's fighting for these corporations that are basically getting him elected, that are giving him millions and millions of dollars. And I went through, you know, all of his campaign donations. Interestingly, his largest campaign donation came from the West Virginia Democratic Party. They've given him $100,000 over the course of like the last 5 years or something. And I'm sure, you know, that comes in different forms, but you know, the rest of all of his money is coming from Wall Street, from oil, from a lobbying firm, some weird lobbying firm that doesn't even operate in his state. None of these companies are giving him money to do this. And so I don't understand. And some of these companies, too, would actually benefit from the money that the budget would come in. Like this lobbying firm, don't you know that so many of their clients are going to be getting money to do projects, which means that they're going to be getting extra money to fight for the contracts for these projects. And so you would think that they would be giving Manchin money to support that. And yeah.
I don't get the rationale behind it. Because we need the investment, the reverberation effect of the investment money. If you buy the conservative ideology that, you know, you have all this activity that generates more, the compounding and all this stuff, it would actually bring some money back in. And oh, by the way, if we had rich people paying their taxes, we probably wouldn't be in the mess that we're in overall. You listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story. I want to get to a couple of your other stories real quick, Sarah, because a couple of them, all of them are fabulous, and I hope people consume them often. But my favorite here in Pennsylvania is the pizza woman who wrote the 114-page typo-laden manifesto that I just, you know, if you've got enough time to sit down and write a 114-page manifesto, get a job, do something. There's something wrong here.
She had a very hard time with this document. It seems, I mean, this was a legal court document that she filed to the court, arguing why she is a sovereign citizen and thus cannot be charged or prosecuted for anything that she did on January 6th.
Yeah, cool.
My favorite part, I didn't read all of it. I scanned a little bit and then it was a lot and I was just like scrolling through. My favorite part is that she quoted the Magna Charta.
It was an honest mistake.
Not the Magna Carta. But I feel like if you're filing something in court, maybe you should at least spell check. Just run a spell check. And I'm as guilty as anybody for my typos. Like my typos are wretched, right? And I never have been able to spell anything. But at the very least, I know that it's the Magna Carta, not the Magna Charta. But my favorite part of this whole argument with her is that she's claiming sovereign citizenship. She's claiming that she is her own entity, her own vessel is what she calls herself. And thus she is not governable by the United States of America. But when I looked her up on the voter file, she's registered to vote as a Republican in the state of Pennsylvania and voted in the presidential election. So clearly she does recognize the United States government and the government of the state of Pennsylvania. So it's just like, which one is it?
Yeah. And I would imagine, you know, she pays probably taxes because she, you know,
probably
owns a business, a pizza shop. But I would love to see where this, I'd love to see the pizza shop. Does she pay taxes? I mean, this could open up a whole nother, you know, kind of, you know, bit of questioning. If you're not if you are this quote unquote sovereign citizen, what are you getting all of the fire protection and all of the stuff that comes with being a citizen? Crazy.
If you don't acknowledge the United States government, then why are you voting for a president?
There you go.
I would love to be. I would love to be the prosecutor in that case. That would be so much fun. If for no other reason to say, I'm sorry. Did you say Magna Charta?
But you know, here's the thing, and this is where living in Pennsylvania is fun, because we've had a bunch of Pennsylvania folks show up at the Capitol during the insurrection, doing a lot of crazy things. And I'm always amazed that, you know, when it comes time to go in front of the court, and look, on a certain level, I give her credit. You know, she's sticking to her guns. She's got her 114 pages of typos and you know, verbal diarrhea on the page there. Good for her. She's sticking with it. I actually respect that a little bit. It's like the guy in Florida who, you know, his last dying breath was COVID's a hoax. Good. You know, don't turn back now. Take it right with you. I actually, on a certain level, respect that. It's those people who you know, wrote these manifestos who then go into court all teary-eyed. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean it. I got a problem with that. Stick with it. Hold your guns.
Yeah, at the very least. I mean, they're the shaman made a deal this week.
Yeah.
The QAnon shaman. There are a couple of people who went before the court and made deals for misdemeanors for lowered charges. These are not people who helped plan the event. One of the guys who did actually pay for 200 people, I think it was, to send 200 people to Washington. That guy is going away for quite a bit. So, I mean, there are some of the big charges that have come down, but most of these are the lower level people. It's going to be interesting when we start talking about the militia members and the white supremacists and the neo-Nazis and the people who they're having a protest for on September 18th to protest the fact that they've been, you know, socked away in jail or are being charged for their participation on the 6th. Those are the people that I think those are the ones where I think folks are going to try and start making some deals. I don't know if they'll be able to, though. You know, like you've got some of these guys who are just like, you know, I was taken in by Donald Trump. It was like a cult. And the way they describe it, it really does sort of sound like this cult.
Oh, it is.
And it absolutely is.
They bought the flag, man. They bought the flag. I know these people. They've got the flag in their truck. They bought the T-shirt. They got the hat. There might be something in the hat that bleeds into the brain that we don't know about. So instead of the tinfoil to keep things out, this stuff keeps it in. You know, who knows? Listen to these people selling all these different, you know, miracle cures and all the snake oil that's coming out of the right wing from you know, dietary supplements to beet juice to, you know, Peter pills. I mean, there's all kinds of craziness in the right wing keeps shoving down these people's gullets. You never know what's going on.
And it's so sad because now you've got all these people who are, you know, showing up in hospitals or calling poison control because they're taking the horse drug that's taking them. Yeah.
Take two. They're small.
That's the thing. It's so hard because you're like, I why are we fighting so hard to get to save these people? You know, at some point, you just got to be like, let me introduce you to Darwin Shelf, right? I mean, it's just.
Yeah. No, I sit here and I go, look, I know it's bad for my soul. I know it's bad for my soul.
Yeah.
It's bad for my soul to go, you know what? I don't care. I mean, and I hate thinking that way, but there's a point at which you go, you know, I don't care.
I'm just tired. I am so tired of fighting. I am so tired of pleading with people to save their own lives. And it's just exhausting. And I don't know how, I mean, I keep thinking how exhausted I am. Imagine how all the doctors and nurses are who are dealing with this crap and have been for over a year.
I can't even imagine. And look, I give them credit. They are much better people than I will ever be. You know, I don't know how you get up every day and you deal with the kind of things that they have to see. And at the beginning, you know, I read this, a listener sent me this, I'm not going to call it a poem, but this story of, you know, the person who goes and cleans up after you're dead. Their job is to, you know, take all the stuff off you because someone's got to do it. Clean the room up while you're there. And, you know, this was, you know, it was heart-wrenching. I mean, I'm not an overly emotional person, but it's one of those things that makes you go, you know, this is bad. I don't know how those people get up and do it every day.
I know. you know, I just spent the last year and a half, I held three people as they died. And I had, I lost count of how many people that I knew that I lost. And honestly, the people that died, it wasn't even from COVID. You know, it was, you know, my best friend's mom who died of cancer. Pop died, you know, after a long battle with Alzheimer's. My other grandfather, God love him, he was 90 billion years old and fell and hit his head and slipped into a coma and died. And all of these people, you know, dying is not a beautiful thing. It is hard, and there's a smell and a way that things look and how your loved one appears and the way that their mouth falls open whenever they take their last breath and what that sounds like. And it is hard. And you are doing that to your family.
Yeah.
And to all of these people who don't even know you.
No, that's what, like I said, I hope I'm walking down the street one day, just right over. Quick, easy, painless, you know, take me out with the trash, be done. Move right along. Next, told my wife, you know, bring a boyfriend to the funeral. Do what you got to do. But don't have a funeral because I don't want anybody to show up to make sure. So there is that as well. But no, I mean, it's horrible. And I make light of this, but it is horrible what these people have to go through. And I fear what happens on the other side of this as people just leave the profession and we end up in a in a place where there's nobody left to care for us. But it is what it is. But Sarah, I appreciate the time, the work that you guys do. Fabulous stuff as always. Love having you here. Can't wait to see you back here next time.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You as well. Our good friend Sarah Burris. Make sure you check out the work she does over at Raw Story. RawStory.com, the website. Quick break right back after this. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.